One thing Oregon has got a lot of is ghost towns. They're all over the place. We've got them in the west side of the state, we've got them in the east side of the state. In the west side of the state, they tend to be ghostlier because the elements break them down faster. Yaquina City, anyone? Can you find it? I can't. But you can find a lot of very interesting places in eastern Oregon that used to be even more interesting than they are now. Mining company boom towns, basically. I'm going to talk about one of those today, a town called Granite. It's not really a ghost town, because there's a few dozen people still living in Granite, but it is a ghost of its former self. Hi, my name is Finn J.D. John, and today I'm reading something from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. If you'd like more information about this little podcast or about the Offbeat Oregon History column it's part of, well, you can stay tuned or you can check out our online archives at offbeatoregon.com. This particular column ran in the newspapers on May 5th, 2009, under the headline, The Rowdy But Golden Past of Almost Ghost Town Granite. Here it is. When mayors of incorporated cities start talking about growth, it's hard to beat the story of Steve Smith, mayor of the historic mining town of Granite, Oregon. Granite's population has shot up 2,800% since 1970. Of course, in 1970, Granite's population was one. The population's name was Odie Ford. The mayor's name, Odie Ford. The city council president's name was, well, you get the idea. Ford liked to joke that Granite had a Republican administration. Every single city official was a Republican. All one of them. But if Granite's founder could have heard this back when the town was new, he likely would have run down Main Street shooting into the air. The town's founder was prospector Jack Long, and he founded the town because his mule got stuck in the mud while packing a big load of whiskey on July 4th, 1862. It gets better. Long pulled the mule out of the mud and found gold dust mixed with the mud on its feet, so the story goes. I tell you what, if that isn't a country song or maybe an episode of Grizzly Adams, I don't know what it is. It's got it all. In any case, immediately Long staked a mining claim right there. Within a week he had company, a lot of company, and the town sprang up in shockingly short order. Long wanted to name the town Independence because it was founded on July 4th. It's not clear why this date was special to Long, because the Civil War was on, and he, like everybody else in the town, was a Southern Democrat. In fact, there's a story about that, passed on in a 1939 WPA Oregon Folklore Studies interview with an old-time Granite resident, Mrs. Neil Niven. It seems in 1864, Long learned from government records that someone in his town had voted for Abraham Lincoln. Suitably fortified with spirits, he stormed through the town with a pistol and a knife, accosting everyone he saw. Did you dare vote for Abraham Lincoln? Everyone answered no, until a man riding by on a horse reined in. I dared vote for Lincoln. What are you going to do about it? Dead silence fell. A crowd started to gather. Finally, Long broke the silence. Well, that makes one. Where's another?
I thought you were going to shoot the first black Republican you met, Jack, yelled someone from back in the crowd.
Well, Long said you can't shoot a man off his horse.
Like a lot of old mining towns in the Blue Mountains, Granite was a rough, tough, hard-drinking, hard-fisted kind of place. At its peak, it boasted nearly 5,000 residents, almost all male, almost all miners. Roughly 3,000 of those residents were Chinese. The Chinese would buy played-out mines and work the tailings over. Because they had more skill and patience than the European and American miners, they'd get quite a bit of color out of what the Westerners thought was a heap of worthless slag. Many a miner, chortling over the money a Chinese man had paid him for a worthless slag heap, later found out that the joke was on him. When one of the miners would hit a big strike, he sometimes would treat the whole town to a big drunken party. Quote, I remember one time a miner had just made a big strike, Niven said in her 1939 interview. When he brought his bag of gold dust in, he walked up to the bar, and standing at the door, he threw his bag of dust across the room, and it lit on the bar, breaking the bag and making a big dent in the bar. He yelled, Come on, you mudsluckers, the drink is on me! It was one of the wildest, wooliest nights Granite ever had. The party had cooled off quite a bit by World War II, but in 1942, the War Labor Act outlawed gold mining, and the town screeched to a demographic stop. The men went off to war or to some home front effort elsewhere, possibly in the Portland shipyards. After the war was over, few, if any, came back. Today, though, Granite is growing. It's a gorgeous mountain town, little more than 4,000 feet above sea level. Vacationers and elk hunters from elsewhere come and see it and fall in love with it. During the summer, hundreds of people crowd the town. but winters are harsh and amenities are few. Year-round residents, there are just 28 of them. And it is no longer the smallest incorporated city in Oregon. That honor now goes to nearby Greenhorn, whose population is zero. No word yet on who the mayor of that town is. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like more, there are hundreds of columns going back to 2008 on our website at offbeatoregon.com. You can also subscribe to receive these podcasts or their written equivalents and have them delivered directly to your smartphone via RSS or iTunes. If you're interested in history geekery, be sure to check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. If you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of Dutch Bros or some other historical Oregon drink, come look me up. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. All my stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. That means if you want to broadcast anything on your radio show, reprint anything in your blog or book project, or use any Offbeat Oregon anything in any way, commercial or not, go for it. Some restrictions apply. Google Creative Commons 3.0 and it'll give you all the details. Have a great day.